thank you, Lord. Thank you that you did provide a way for us to have peace. You were the one who said, "My peace I give to you, peace I leave you." So thank you, Lord. Thank you for making a way for that to be possible. Even in the midst of the challenges that this world throws at us. Just pray, Lord, that as we open your word, you'll minister to our hearts and help us to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you. I think I can speak for most people when I say that we really don't like conflict.
Amen.
We don't really like to get into a fight. There are some people, some people out there just love to fight. They can get into it. And I suppose that when we're younger, maybe sometimes we can be more like that. We're so sure of ourselves, we think we've got all the answers and we're ready to defend it, come what may. I used to be a bit more that way. I wanted to let people know. I thought I was right, and I wanted to make sure people knew it. But for one thing, I learned that I wasn't right nearly as often as I thought I was.
Is that before you married Linda or after? Just kidding.
No comment.
No comment.
But now I really would prefer to avoid striving and controversy. And I don't like to stir things up anymore. I would prefer to, I listen to other people do it. Eventually I get tired of it and move on to something else.
Right.
I increasingly, even online, have become a lot more careful what I share, because I came to realize something. Even though, I like to listen to people that agree with me, and sometimes they say something funny, and so I repeat what they said because I think it's funny. But I got thinking about that a little bit more. It's like, you know what? You're not going to win many souls by calling them stupid. You're not going to win many souls by making fun of them. If you really believe that you're right about something, how about behaving yourself in such a way that people will be attracted to what you have to say and want to hear you? So I'm a lot more careful than I used to be, and I'm also very conscious of the fact that when you look at my profile, it says associate pastor. Maybe I ought to be a little bit more, I might still mess up on occasion, but I'm trying to be real careful anymore.
Yep.
Thing is, it's often a good thing. It is often a good thing to be circumspect and careful about what we say. But on the other hand, the culture that we have of political correctness has made it so that you can't say the truth, and that's not a good thing. There is no right to not be offended. There's no constitutional right that says that you have a right not to be offended. And yet it seems that everyone except Christians has that right not to be offended. But the matter is, sometimes the truth offends. Jesus said as much. And what we've done in our culture, the things that we say, is we twist it. The political correctness twists the truth and makes it something other than what it is. The challenges are going to come. Our society is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian point of view. Everything from the militant atheism that absolutely refuses to have God in any context of social society or anything to do with government or anything to do with schools. We're seeing the result of that now because we've devalued the family. Marriage is now corrupted freedom to do anything that you want to do with your body, even to the extreme of destroying life and taking the life of children that never had a chance to be born. And our courts are complicit in this travesty. And the result of this disregard for life and law is the lawlessness that we now have in our streets. Mm-hmm. Folks, we need to understand that our actions have consequences. Our decisions have consequences. And the tension that we're facing now and all the racial tension is nothing more than a symptom of the bigger problems that we have. We've left God out. This is what we get. And so is this a time to pull back? Is this a time as Christians to just back off and hide in our safe places? No. You've heard about those, right?
Right.
Should we make our own safe places?
Yeah.
No. No, that's not what we need to be doing. Because we have the solution. We have the only thing that can make this right. We can't fix it by putting policemen on the streets. We can't fix it by changing the laws. What we've got to fix is hearts. And the only one who's in that business is Jesus. And so we cannot keep silent. If we keep silent, we bear the guilt. But there's something else that we need to understand. If our lives don't look different, if people can't look at us and see anything that's different from us and the rest of the world, our message falls flat. Mm-hmm. If you're not living it, why would you expect anybody else to live it? If you don't live it, why do you expect anybody to believe you when you say it?
Right.
Our lives have to reflect the truth that we know. Or maybe we don't know it as well as we think we do. Let's go to 1 Peter today, chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 8, and we'll read through verse 18. Peter's been talking here to the church, or the people that are scattered abroad, and giving them instruction. And now he's come toward the end of his letter, and he's kind of wrapping things up. That's the way the New American Standard puts it. It says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So I titled the message, Don't Be Shy. Speak up. And he's going to tell us some things that we need to do. It's not just that we need to speak up. He's sort of giving us a blueprint for life here amidst trials and circumstances that are perhaps hostile to what we believe in. So he gives us a list of things here starting in verse 8. And he says, first of all, be harmonious. Now literally that means of one mind. And I was surprised to find that the New American Standard did this, that they're usually more literal in the way they do this. But I happen to like that word. Be harmonious, he says. If you know me, you know I love music. Half the time when somebody requests a song that we do, the last half, you know, we do a couple of songs that somebody requests, half the time I've already got it. And another part of the time, when they ask for it, I end up buying the whole album. Because I enjoy good music. And that term is one that you're familiar with if you're into music. And what is it? I didn't get a dictionary out, but basically, different notes played together that make something beautiful. You know something else about harmony? You know, we don't think about it much. When we hear it, we just think that it's beautiful. But it takes practice and it takes effort. You know, sometimes when we get together and do our music, we don't have time. We're all busy with other things. It's just a few of us anyway, but we don't necessarily have a practice session. Sometimes you can fail. Things don't work out right. Something's missing. Why? Because it requires practice. And the reason why Edith did such a wonderful job today is because she had advance warning and she practiced. Harmonious, different people, in the same way that you have different notes come together to make a beautiful melody, different people come together and make a beautiful blend in the church. But that takes work.
Yeah.
When you hear that beautiful piece of music, what you didn't hear was all the flats and all the miscues and all the things that happened when they were practicing before they got to the point where they could make that beautiful music together.
Yep.
But that's what we have to do. We have to work at it until we're ready to operate harmoniously. And he says, be sympathetic. In other words, that word means to feel with, or it's one way to put it. It comes because we care about each other. It comes because we love each other. And then he goes on to say brotherly. If you look at other translations, it'll say, the Common English Bible, which I've been reading this year, simply says be lovers of your fellow believers. In other words, treat each other, and I start to say like family, but let me put it this way. Treat each other like family ought to treat each other. Be kind-hearted. That word, now here's a situation where you really don't necessarily want to translate something literally, because it doesn't mean the same thing to us. That literally means have strong bowels. That was the center in that culture. And what they're really saying is be compassionate, be kind-hearted, be tender-hearted to one another. And then he says, be humble in spirit. Why? Because pride is the enemy of everything that we've just been talking about. Because it puts us first. It becomes all about us. You know, one of the first things that you better learn in marriage is that you don't have to be right.
Right.
Sometimes you just shut your mouth and let it go. It's not that important for you to be right. It's not worth your relationship for you to be right.
No.
Besides that, you're probably not. But put others first. That pride gets in our way so often. But then he says, offer a blessing when somebody, instead of doing what we think we want to do, when you're cursed, instead offer a blessing. He says, not only that, he says, you're called to this. Why in the world would he say that? You're called to this? You mean I'm called to have people persecute me? Well, maybe. If it means that you have the opportunity then to be God's witness in that situation. He says, when this happens to you, you are called, you will inherit a blessing. Jesus put it even more strongly. In Luke chapter 6, verse 23, we've read it before. He says, hey, when you get persecuted, rejoice and leap for joy. Well, that's not really what we feel like doing in that situation. He's saying, you are blessed of God. You have this opportunity. And good things are going to come of it. You will just stay true. And he goes on. And he quotes here. Different Bibles do it different ways. If you read out of the New American Standard, he puts it in all caps. But Peter's going to back up what he's just been saying. And he's quoting from Psalms 34, verses 12 through 16. Mm-hmm. He says, avoid speaking evil. Avoid speaking deceitfully.
Yeah.
Now, the ends don't justify the means. It's very tempting. And I see this a lot of times in political maneuvering. I follow all of that and have been involved at a low level. And the temptation is, hey, they're doing it, so we've got to fight fire with fire. We've got to do the same thing. No. If it's wrong, you don't do it.
Right.
You do the opposite. You turn from evil. Instead of doing evil, you do good. And he says, seek peace and pursue it. In other words, chase it down. Go find it. Go looking for it. Make a point of having peace. He says, this is the path. This is the path to righteousness. This is how God wants us to live. And not only that, this is how your prayers get answered. He says, when you are living that kind of lifestyle, when you are living righteously like that, God is hearing your prayers. Does that mean we're always going to get the answer we want? No, don't let anybody tell you that, because he knows better than we do. But we do know that he is hearing our prayers.
Amen.
And we do know that he keeps his promises. But when we turn from the right path and we choose evil, even though we think we're justified, and we choose evil instead of good, we become God's enemy, not God's friend. There is no justification for going out at random and shooting somebody. There's no way you can justify that. Even if you think that somebody has done wrong, even if there's any truth at all in the narrative that caused somebody to think that they needed to do that, that is never right. We know that. Pursue, turn from evil, pursue peace, choose what is good. Stand up for those things that are good. We need to be speaking out. He then goes on in verse 13 and he says, well, who's there to harm you if you're zealous for good things? Most people, even if they don't necessarily agree with you, even if in the end they're not going to go along with you, most people have a respect for somebody who really believes what they believe and acts it out and lives it out. But some don't. He says you may suffer. Those people that he was writing to were undergoing suffering. That's one of the reasons why he wrote to them. And many Christians throughout the world today, we've got some problems here, and I think they're going to get worse. But I've said it before, you look over in the Middle East, even in some parts of India and in China, Christians are having to go underground because of the level of persecution. Do you know what else is happening? This is something you don't hear as much of, unless you're looking at the right sources, but the church is getting stronger in those places.
Amen.
Yeah, they're having to go underground, but you know what? They're not being silent. They're getting more and more converts.
Yep.
They may be hiding from the government, but they're not hiding. They are telling people about Jesus.
Yep.
People are coming to know him. He says when you face these challenges, you are blessed. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 28, don't be afraid of people. All they can do is kill you. If you're going to be afraid, be the friend of one that they can send you to hell. Don't be afraid of these people. Because my goodness, this life is short. This life is temporary. What we have awaiting us in eternity is a far greater value. Far more wonderful. Why do we worry about what happens to us here? But we do. I do. Then he says something that I find rather strange. Because we talk about sanctification. And when we talk about sanctification, we're usually using the term to reflect what God does in our lives over time. In that process of setting us apart, in that process of making us holy. But that's really what that word means. So how in the world, I mean, we can't sanctify Christ, right? In the way that we typically think of it. He's already holy. But what he's saying here, and the ESV puts it that way, it says, honor Christ the Lord as holy in your heart. When Moses hit the rock the second time, and God told him to speak to him, instead he got mad and started hitting him. And because he didn't obey God in that situation, God told him he wasn't going into the promised land. And if you read that, I just thought of this afternoon, didn't have time to go look it up. But if you read that, it says, you didn't treat me as holy for the Israelites. He is Lord, and we need to remember and treat him as Lord. That means we obey him. That means we do what he says. And when we walk in that submission, when we walk into that obedience, that prepares us. That makes us ready when the trials come. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, when they call you up, don't worry about it. When they call you before the magistrates, when they call you before the authorities, don't be worried about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. But if you haven't gotten to know the Holy Spirit, I don't know how well you're going to hear it. So that time before the Lord is so important. Be ready. And when people see that hope that is in you, when it's evident to people, and when they ask, Peter says, be ready with an answer. Let people know why you have that hope. Let people people know why you're not afraid to go out of your house even though people are being shot in the streets. Let people know why you keep proclaiming Jesus even though somebody at work has told you not to. Let people know why it is that you're able to not be afraid, even though we have terrorists plotting to cause mass mayhem and destruction in our country. Why are we not afraid? Because we know the true God. Can anyone see it? That hope that you have, can anyone see it? When we walk in obedience, they'll see it. And I'm speaking to myself. I hope you don't hear condemnation, because I'm well aware, especially when I'm at work. Of course, I work out of the house, so I'm not interacting with people as much as I used to. But I'm very aware sometimes when I'm at work that the things that I'm saying, that the attitudes that I'm projecting, maybe they aren't the ones that Jesus wants me to have. So I'm speaking to myself too. Can people see something different? Can people see in me something that makes them want what I've got? Or am I turning them off? Am I looking like a hypocrite? He says, do it gently. Just do it gently and respectfully. You know, if you do have the joy of somebody coming to you and saying, well, what's different? I would suggest that the best answer is, oh, I'm so happy because you're going to hell and I'm not. Maybe that's not the right response, right? But to say, I have this joy, I have this peace that we've been talking about today because Jesus is in my life. Because I have an assurance that there is nothing in this life that can take that away from me. Because His peace is in me. It's not me. I'm flawed. I'm probably going to mess up today. But I know the Prince of Peace. And I would like for you to know Him too. We share the gospel. We spread. We tell people about Jesus. Not because we've got the answer and we're right and they're wrong. But because we love them. And because we want them to find the same thing. The same life that we have. When the message comes out of love. I know I said this the other day. But I'm going to say it again. Because we talk about Muslims a little bit. I went to a church service while I was in London working with the Muslim ministry there. And while we were there, several of the people gave testimonies as to how they came to God. And every single one of them said the same thing. Somebody showed me love. When we do that, are we going to stand out? Are we going to draw some fire? Yeah. And that may not have been the best term to use, but you might. It's happened. People have come into churches. The false accusations will come. But if you catch your conscience clear, make sure those accusations are false.
I had a question. I hate to interrupt, I really do. But sometimes I'm lacking information. You dealt with the Muslim group. Now when you're praying, coming to God, I'm praying, coming to Jesus, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
If I understood you right, the answer is yes.
Sorry.
Happy to talk to you afterwards if I misunderstood. But, yeah, keep your conscience, we need to keep our conscience clear so that we're able to stand firm in those situations. The reward comes when the suffering is undeserved. And this is what Jesus did for us. The death of the flesh brings life in the spirit. Romans chapter 8 would be a good place to start and read about that. How do we apply this in our own lives? Troubles abound. We've got so much tension now that I don't know how, because there is no way other than Jesus. We've already established that. How do you deal with the racial tension? How do you deal with the way that people feel about each other right now, and the preconceived notions, and the way that, you know, there have been wrongs in the past? How do you straighten all that out? You only straighten it out when you start loving each other and start allowing Jesus to heal those wounds. We've got threats from overseas. We've got attacks on our liberties right here at home. We've got a moral decline that is frightening to behold. So what are we going to do? What is our response? Are we going to get angry? You know, there's a place for anger. But we've got to be careful not to sin with that anger. Paul said, be angry, but don't sin. Ephesians 4:26. Are we going to get angry? Well, maybe, but if we do, we need to be careful with it. Are we going to withdraw in our little shells? You know, we've got Christian everything these days. You can go to Christian dating sites, although some of them are not so Christian anymore. You can have Christian music, and I love Christian music. Just about all my music is Christian. But somebody said it's not the music that's Christian, it's the artist. You know, I even saw a Christian Twitter a few years ago. I thought, come on now. And there was a social, there have been various social networks over the years. But folks, if we completely isolate ourselves from the world, then how are we ever going to reach them? You're not going to be able to reach people you can't touch. Is withdrawing in our shell the answer? No, that's not the answer. The answer is we love people and we speak the truth. And yeah, sometimes actions do speak louder than words. Sometimes we need to act out what we believe. Our words had better back up our actions. They better be in sync. But one of the worst things one of the worst statements I think that I've heard, it's very common, I forget that he said it. It was a saint from many years ago, said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Well, isn't that a little bit like saying, feed the hungry and if necessary, use food? The gospel, the words of the gospel are essential to the message. Does that mean we're not doing the other things? Oh, absolutely not. We're doing those other things. We're putting compassion, we're putting action to our words. But you can't leave out the words, people. You've got to be speaking up. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. It's Mark 8:38. We have the answer. We have the only answer that can fix what's wrong with this world. Man's solutions don't change hearts. Your salvation is not in a political party. It's not in the police station. It's in Jesus. It's in changed hearts. May our lives confirm our words. We will not achieve perfection, but we got to keep trying. Don't be shy. We may suffer, but if we do, there's an even greater blessing. It's our mission. It's what he gave us to do. Let's get out there and do it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I am struck, and I say this on occasion in private prayer, thank you for the honor of serving you. You don't need us. Sometimes we're not there. Sometimes we failed so miserably that you are showing up in dreams to people who would not know about you any other way because nobody told them. It speaks to your faithfulness and your justice. It means we're falling short. We're not doing everything we need to be doing. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of serving you. Lord, may we go out here today with a renewed vigor, with a renewed life, with your peace and your life and your love shining out of us. This is not the time to be shy. This is the time to be bold. And that only comes from you, Lord. I ask it for myself and for everyone in this room. In Jesus' name.